Well, thank you, Pastor Peter, for giving me the opportunity to come up here and to preach. I'll just take an opportunity here to pray again before I start. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this new year. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together and to read your word and to learn from it. Lord, we ask that you just be teaching us, Lord, that you would be speaking, that any words I say would not be my own, but that they would be yours, and that I would not be a hindrance at all in your message being preached this morning, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for this time, and we ask that you would be working in all of our hearts this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sohan Singh was a grocery store owner in England, and he has banned. He told a London newspaper that he has banned customers from his grocery store, and he told a London newspaper that he was forced to take such drastic action because of people's bad manners. First, he had banned smoking, then crude language, baby strollers, pets, and finally the customers themselves. Shoppers now must look through the window to spot items that they want and then ring a bell to be served through a small hatch in the door. I have lost business, but I cannot say how much, Singh said. I am a man of principles, and I stand by my decision. Now, this story is humorous, and it is funny how one can lose sight of purpose when distracted by one's own desires for comfort. In seeking to make things easy for himself, this man effectively made his store useless. A grocer who bans customers from his store has definitely lost sight of his purpose. Now, sadly, this resembles what some churches have actually done across our world. Seeking that they might have a comfortable environment where Christian principles can be upheld, they have barred the church from unbelievers, exactly whom they are to be seeking. Often as Christians, we can be guilty of expecting Christian behavior from those who are not believers. In the same way, the man from the story lost sight of his purpose. Christians can be guilty of losing sight of the purpose of the church and even of Christ our Savior. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, recently I saw a quote that said, "A church that doesn't reach out to its city isn't a church, it's a country club." And I think this is very true. If a church isn't concerned about spreading the gospel and reaching those who do not have it, it really does become a club. And the definition of a club is an association or organization dedicated to a particular interest or activity. And if we lose sight as a church of our purpose of spreading the gospel, we're really just a club, a bunch of people who get together and enjoy our common interests. This morning, we'll be looking at the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. This story is an example of how Jesus sought some sinners, and gave them life-changing news of the gospel. The last time we were in Luke, Pastor Peter preached about the blind man Jesus healed just outside of Jericho as he was on his way to Jerusalem. This is the tail end of Jesus' ministry, and he will soon be crucified on the cross and rise again. Now, all throughout his account of Jesus' life and ministry here on earth, Luke brings special attention to the fact that the gospel is for all people, and how Jesus purposely ministered to those that were marginalized in society. Last time we heard about a poor blind man, and today we will look at a man on the opposite end of the spectrum. Zacchaeus is an excellent example of one of those marginalized people groups in Israel. Let's take a look at the text now. He, being Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Now, right in the first two verses, there are two very important details. One was that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and two was that he was in Jericho. When talking about property, there's a saying, location, location, location. And Jericho is a prime piece of real estate. Just up the road from Jerusalem, it was a good place to stop while traveling on the way. It was also just west of the Jordan River at a convenient crossing that made Jericho a very convenient trade hub. Along with this, it became famous for its many palm trees and its balsam groves, which sometimes would perfume the whole city with the smell of the balsams hanging on the air. It also became a popular spot for Roman dignitaries due to its desirable climate. To say the least, there was a lot of money flowing through Jericho, which presented a perfect opportunity for a man like Zacchaeus. During the first century, Israel was governed by Rome, and because of the services that they provided, like infrastructure, Rome would tax the people that they governed. And this was set up so that the right to collect taxes was grouped by an area and then they were sold to the highest bidder. Taxes would be collected by private parties and passed on to the Roman authorities. Romans did not care how much was charged as long as they received their due portion, which gave tax collectors the opportunity to overcharge and keep any profit for themselves. Luke records in detail that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, having command over other tax collectors. This, along with the prosperous area of his business, would have made Zacchaeus a very wealthy man. This offers an interesting paradox to the Jews, who viewed the wealthy as blessed by God, but also looked down on tax collectors as traitors. In the previous chapter, Jesus said how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. For it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus broke down the belief that to be rich is to be in God's favor, to show people that they could not enter into heaven based on their wealth or status. Tax collectors were a marginalized people group in Jewish society. Though they were Hebrews themselves, they were seen as Gentiles for their collecting taxes on behalf of Rome. Their job made them to be traitors in the eyes of the people. Israel had a strong sense of nationalism, and there was a constant unrest of their being ruled by Rome. Publicans, as the tax collectors were called, were undesirable to the people. Since they were reduced to the status of Gentiles, they were considered to be unclean and therefore barred from the synagogues, which further separated them from their society. To even associate with a tax collector was to make one ceremonially unclean according to the Pharisaical traditions, so they were outcast in their own country. Zacchaeus was rich, so by our society's standard, he had everything. But what Luke writes leads us to believe that he was unsatisfied. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Now, word of Jesus had spread throughout the land. The miracles he had performed drew massive crowds, and his teaching caught people's attention and often upset the religious authorities. Jesus was becoming a celebrity, and even the blind man in the last story had heard who Jesus was. For Zacchaeus, Jesus might have been an even more enticing hope than for some others. Much of the controversy that surrounded Jesus' ministry was because he associated with tax collectors and sinners. In Luke 15, it is mentioned that the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling because Jesus welcomed sinners and tax collectors. Early on in Jesus' ministry, tax collectors came to him to be baptized, and Jesus taught them to do their business fairly. In the previous chapter, Jesus tells a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And even one of Jesus' own disciples, Matthew, was formerly a tax collector. Jesus addressed this issue of tax collectors quite often in his ministry. Now, seeking those who are unworthy and cannot save themselves is a theme of Jesus' ministry. In reality, none of us can be saved apart from Christ, and perhaps Jesus' reputation for associating with publicans and sinners is what made Zacchaeus seek him that day. Perhaps it is what gave Zacchaeus hope. Zacchaeus here seeks Jesus with a hint of desperation. He attempts to push through the crowd, but can't get through, and can't even get a look above the crowd at Jesus because he's small in stature. He looks on ahead to see if there's some way he can find Jesus and look at him. Now, he looks up and sees this tree that he could climb up to get a look, even a glimpse of Jesus as he's walking by. And I think we often overlook this as an important detail and kind of laugh it off because we think it's funny that a short guy just had to climb a tree. So he climbs a tree to get a better view. Now, in Jesus' day, this would have been quite strange. It was uncommon for a grown man to run for any reason, and it was almost undignified to do so. It would have been especially strange for a high-ranking official like Zacchaeus. But he doesn't care. He wants to see Jesus, and he'll even climb a tree. This picture presents a wonderful illustration of something that was touched on in chapter 18 of Luke. Jesus was teaching that one must receive the kingdom of God with childlike faith. In fact, anyone who did not would not enter the kingdom of heaven. Zacchaeus cares more about pursuing Jesus than he does what people think. He shows an example of childlike faith, and Christ does not disappoint that faith. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." In the midst of the crowd and the commotion, Jesus saw the need of a broken man and took the opportunity to love him. It was socially awkward for Jesus to invite himself over to Zacchaeus' house in the same way it would be today. But it would have been totally unacceptable for him to stay in the home of a tax collector. Again, we see Jesus reaching out for those who are outcast in society and do not know God, and he shows them God's love. The priorities of Jesus are not the same as the priorities of the world. He's concerned with reaching the broken sinner and restoring him, not with what people think of him. Jesus asked him to come down, so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Now, this is really beautiful. A man who has probably faced social seclusion for most of his adult life has found love and acceptance in the Savior. But the look at the reaction that we see of the crowd. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Exactly. What the crowd did not understand, and that Jesus' whole purpose in coming to earth was to do that. His entire life and ministry was dedicated to loving sinners. In Luke 5, verse 31, Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Now, brothers and sisters, that is exactly what we are to do. And that's exactly what Jesus did for everyone who ever lived. We are all sinners, and he came to call us to repentance. The people of the crowd could not see past Zacchaeus being a tax collector and an enemy in their eyes. They hated him. Now, he represented the persecution of Rome over their country. They had no love for this lost man in their hearts, but Jesus did. Jesus sought out sinners the way he still does today. Romans 5, verse 6 to 10 says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified in his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also receive in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." We also rejoice in God, through whom we received our reconciliation. Christ loved us while we were still his enemies. He sought Zacchaeus out while he was still dishonest and a cheating tax collector. Jesus loved the unlovable. He was more concerned with doing the will of his Father than pleasing man. He went into the lives of broken people and gave them the gospel, which made them his disciple. And made them his disciples. And that is exactly what we are to do as his disciples. We can't be like the man in the grocery store that doesn't allow customers into his store. And in fact, even just opening the doors and welcoming people in is not enough. We must go out and seek the lost as Christ did. We can't lose sight of our purpose as a church. Now we can see from the next verse that a change has happened in Zacchaeus. "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" We may not have all the dialogue here between Jesus and Zacchaeus, and it is unclear whether this happens while they're still in the streets of Jericho or while they're at Zacchaeus' house. But clearly encountering Jesus had an impact on Zacchaeus. Upon this change, Jesus affirms that Zacchaeus has in fact received salvation. What has saved Zacchaeus, however, is not his outward action. It is the heart change that precedes that shows his faith. The parable that Jesus told in the previous chapter is key to understanding this. Jesus told them of a Pharisee who attempted to justify himself by his works, and a tax collector who could not even lift his eyes towards heaven, for he knew of his guilt. The attitude of the second man is the same as Zacchaeus. This man modeled repentance in his words, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The man in the parable knew of his guilt before God, and so did Zacchaeus, and that's what prompted the change. That is why Zacchaeus gave away half his possessions to the poor and paid back what he had taken. His heart had changed. Now, Old Testament law stated that if a person stole and then willingly confessed and returned what they had taken, they were only required to return what they had taken plus a fifth of what they had taken. And if a person was caught with stolen goods, they were required to pay back double. But finally, if they stole something that was sold or destroyed or used up, they were required to pay fourfold what they had taken. But Zacchaeus is no longer concerned with his material wealth, for he has found great wealth in Christ, and that's why he acts the way he does. The story of the rich young ruler that's also in the previous chapter is fresh in our minds and tells us of a man who is not willing to give up his wealth to follow Jesus. Zacchaeus shows that he values Christ more than anything and by giving up his wealth. Faith here is what saves Zacchaeus. And Jesus says he is saved, for he is a son of Abraham. Now, to the Jews, one of the most important things to them and what they counted on for their salvation was the fact that they were children and sons of Abraham. Now, Galatians 3, verse 7 to 9 says, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Now, Zacchaeus was a Hebrew, after all, and therefore a son of Abraham. But what Jesus means here is that he is a true son of Abraham, that he is a man of faith. Verse 10 is the theme of the passage, and really the theme of the gospel. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. What is interesting about the word lost here is that it can also be translated perished or destroyed. The sense of the word is to be totally lost, beyond being retrieved. This is the wonderful truth of what Jesus actually did for each and every one of us. We were all dead in our sin. Before God, we were spiritually bankrupt with a debt beyond what we could ever pay back. And Jesus took our place and paid that debt for us. Through his death on the cross and his resurrection on the third day, we are totally redeemed. From the story of Zacchaeus, we are to realize that we are unable to save ourselves. We all need to repent and to trust in Christ to be saved. And after that, we are to model our lives after Christ, to live in humble submission to the Father, seeking to obey his will. We are to seek lost sinners in our world and to show them the love of God that was given to us. Just let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this story and how it reminds us that we are all wretched sinners who need your love. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son to live on the earth as a perfect example and of his willingness to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you for your love, and we ask that you would enable us to love those around us, to share the gospel with them, that they may know you as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.